Praise God for the small things that God's doing. Praise God for the transformations that we see every day. You know, a lot of people are looking for moves in the tens and hundreds of thousands, but if you just get in there and work for one at a time, those numbers add up. Hallelujah. I want to just try to obey the Lord just for a few minutes, and I'm not a teacher. I'm just going to tell you. There was just some parts of reflecting on the sufferings of Christ that has stirred my heart, and I hope to bring these out in a way that blesses you. I begin to study in some of these areas and how that there were so many different parts of the prophetic word that was fulfilled, and you read about these, and how that when we study these, how they should touch us and remind us of how those changes took place in our life and how each of those parts are a part of the change that means something. And the first one that I want to read about today is particularly is about the crown of thorns. We'll read in John's recollection of this in the 19th chapter. In the first verse it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." In another account you read of this that the word scourged would be "and whipped." So to say, in that time, the whip has been in many ways, many forms. Some refer to it as the cat of nine tails. But the whip that was used in that time was commonly a whip that had one end that they held, a strong leather strap on one side, and then it expanded out to at least 3 to 12 ends on the other side, with lamb bones and glass and pretty much and stone and anything that they could find that would be able to penetrate the body. And so in using that, from what that I could study, that even just a 12-year-old child swinging that onto something would cause enough damage that you didn't have to be somebody of great stature to swing that, that just the sharp objects in that alone was enough to do carnage. And in the law of those times, you read about how that it was 39 stripes, but it was significant there. It was 40 minus one when you read about that. And so he had the 39 lashes, and, you know, they scourged him there. And the point of that was not to kill the person they were punishing, but it was just to weaken the person that they were punishing. And so I thought, what suffering to endure even before you go to the cross. And how that when I think about that scourging and how often that we just scourge Christ every day of our life. Gosh, you could count it up each and every time that we neglect it, that we don't believe, that we doubt. Each and every time that we do that, we just throw on another lash on top of our Savior. Each and every time that I don't trust in His power. But when I read in His Word, when it talks about in 1 Peter, in 2 chapter 24th verse, I believe it says, "By His stripes ye are what? Healed." Hallelujah. So it wasn't just for nothing. Those lashes were for what? The healing of your life. So when God delivered me, there was a part of me that was broken, that was sin sick. And the lashes that He took in that day was part of the healing process. Hallelujah. I was sick. There was an illness upon me. Part of that suffering was to heal my life. Each and every lash was necessary. And it was very common that they tied them up before they began this process. And needless to say that you can imagine just one lick of that would probably be pretty bad. And most of the time it brought them to a state of shock and almost critical condition before they began the journey elsewhere. But this was the state that Christ was in before they began the journey to the cross. And I thought, Lord, would I have even began? And of course not. We can't even get past a little bit of tongue lashing from somebody. And we claim ourselves cross bearers so often. And I love God, I love the Lord, praise His name. But the first sign of trouble, and we'll throw that cross down. Or we'll untie ourselves from that post and don't want to lash. We don't want to stand and bear and partake of that same suffering that He did. Because it's too hard. We don't want to feel the sting of that. We don't want to feel the sting of what the world would craft to put in its device to lay against us. And I know it's hard sometimes to stand against the world and have morals. Come on now. To have standards. And it's going to be hard to throw yourself out in the middle of everybody and tie yourself down and say, I'm standing for the truth. And they may lash you over and over and mock you as they did Christ. But there's prophetic words that we read in here where it was even prophesied, even in prior scripture. They already knew that he was not going to say a word. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah 53:7, he says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought us a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And yet through all that punishment, most of us would acknowledge the pain, acknowledge that we were hurt. And Lord, have mercy if we don't live in a day where we love to reflect on our feelings. I got a splinter. We make more of a big deal about a splinter, just as much about a small boo-boo, as we would if we lost our entire hand. Come on. Don't have the trust and faith in God for the small things as much as we would for big things. And yet he's done so much for us. Amen. He's done so much for us today. And yet I think, Lord, we've got to be able to get in there and take a stand. God, I've got to be able to have morals. I've got to be able to get in there and be able to take a lashing here and there. If somebody will come against the way that I believe it's all right, then I'm not going to open my mouth and try to fight back against it. I'm going to take the punishment of how I believe. There's a point in that, because what are you doing? You're taking it in love. You're standing for something in love. He took those lashings in love. So even today, even sometimes when you may obey God, you may take a persecution, but remember, you do it in love. You're doing it in love. You give yourself in love. You do it for people because you love them. I stand today before you doing what I'm doing right now because I love you. And I want your well-being, and I want you to live. I want you to be healed. I want you to be delivered. I want that Spirit of God that's deep down inside of you, oh, to come alive. I want it to be able to come forth in your life and you not feel miserable about this world. Don't want you to be down about life, but God has given you more than enough through what Christ went through the sufferings of that, for us to be able to stand in this present day. Don't tell me we're not able to do it. We're able to stand because we are redeemed. We are blood bought by the Son of God. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns, verse 2 on chapter 19, put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Begin to think about the crown of thorns and how that you read in other parts of the Bible about Abraham. And then you read in the 22nd chapter of Genesis and 7 and 8, and it says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Even back then, Abraham's faith was being tested. But there was something about the sacrifice that was put to the side as his faith was tested. There's something about that ram in the thickets. There's something significant about it being inside of that. And there's something about being trapped in the bushes, right? And I wondered, God, why was it that you had a male trapped in there instead of a female? God, why was it that you had it trapped in there by the horns? As it was caught by the horns, that was the head of that, the head of Christ. And as it was trapped in the bushes, that represented the crown of thorns that was upon his head. And as it was a male that was trapped in there, a male animal that was representing Christ, that was the prophetic word that was prophesying the very fact that he would even have the crown of thorns placed upon his head. And I thank God, how can we even think, Lord, that your word is not true? God, how can we not even stand and believe your word each and every day? We go so long without clinging unto the cross and remembering the sufferings of the cross. And we'll go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and just roll the wheels and the motions of life and have no feeling, no substance of knowing the sufferings. We won't lower ourselves to that level of suffering. You don't even have to go through that kind of suffering. You just have to acknowledge that kind of suffering was made for you. Oftentimes, if somebody paid a debt of $1,000 for you, you would feel ashamed in your heart to know that somebody else had to pay that up for you. And you probably wouldn't want to go around them if you didn't have the money to pay them back. And that's the same way that conviction will fall upon your heart. Sometimes it's hard to know that we have that burden of sin in our life. But Christ paid that debt so that you're able to come forward and lay that down, and you don't have to come pay nothing. You just got to come and give your heart, and He'll be there to save your life. There's nothing worth hanging on to. There's no amount of money worth hanging on to. Nothing worth fighting for in this life. Now thank God for the crown of thorns. And I said, God stirred my heart about Simon the Cyrenian. After he was scourged, there was a man that was compelled to help him carry the cross. As I was praying, I thought, Lord, all through the scriptures, you tried to fellowship with man. Did all that you could to be in fellowship with man. And even today, God wants to be in fellowship with you. And even if Christ had suffered, and even in his state of suffering that he was, man and Christ still walked together. And I think, God, I want to be able to walk and bear the cross and walk with Christ and know that he suffered so that I'd be able to be in fellowship with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to be close to the Spirit of God. I want to know the Spirit of God. It's one thing just to say that you understand maybe the Bible, but it's another thing to get in and have that feeling, that experience, that anointing of God rest upon you. There's something about you being able to give up your life so that the God can do the work in it. I'm blessed today to know that we have fellowship with God. Another part that you read about that's significant about the fellowship was, you read about the two thieves. They were referred to as malefactors. And it says in Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged on, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. They're hanging out up there in the same position as Christ was. Less than minutes from death. And yet one said, dost thou not fear? And yet, so that showed me that we can be so close to death and still have so much pride against God that we will miss paradise even if he was feet away. It's a hard thing to know and feel the presence of God. Have it come by. And then just to say in our heart, well, Lord, if you are who you say you are, just perform it for me. But there's got to be a fear in us, oh, to be able to be humble and to surrender our lives and to lower ourselves to a place to where God can perform it. It's one thing for me just to march up to the altar and say, Lord, do it. You're not giving up pride. You're not giving up your ability to believe out in the world. You're still hanging on to things that would leave you without the ability to inherit the Spirit of God. But when we let go of all of that and say, God, I surrender. Lord, I'm coming into the fear of you by believing. I'm partaking in Jesus Christ. I'm partaking in those sufferings. Oftentimes we just want to say, Lord, do it. Or we'll kneel down, Lord, just do it. There's too much pride in that prayer. Too much pride in our lives even to be able to pray. I would ask for a witness, but it's hard to get a witness to admit they have pride. It's all right. I can see our hands going up inside. We all have pride. There's always a part of us that doesn't want to admit that we need to change, that we need to come forward and admit that, God, I need a difference made. Some of us even here this day are on the brink. We need something different. We're just a breath away from things we never thought that we'd ever be a part of. And God is wanting us to be able to call out in fear and to know that he's here to do a work in our lives. He doesn't want us walking back out the door with the same life that we had, because it's one thing to not have the understanding. But if you understand this today, then you know the truth of the Word of God that's being preached to you. You can't walk out the door and say that you did not understand. There's just something simple about partaking in the sufferings of Christ. All you have to do is come forward and acknowledge that, I believe, I understand, and I'm ready to accept and receive. And as you begin to do that and lower your life before Christ, he does a work in you. For me, it was quite easy. I knew that I needed change, and I didn't have the Bible with me. I didn't have that much around me, but people praying. And I said, God, whatever you want to do, God, however you want to do it, change me. Change me, God. I'm ready. And my heart was broke. I was contrite before God. I needed change.
something different. I didn't wait for a special appointed day. I didn't wait for Easter. I just knew that there was something that had to be different. And I was ready for change. How many of us are ready for change? We need a difference in our life. We need that new man put inside of us.
I'm glad I walk with a new garment. Glad I'm that new man. And not as though I was. So they found that ram. That shows the crown of thorns, and my heart was stirred. Often we'll go so long getting into your word and understanding where Christ was in all of this. Then you read about the part where they pierced his side. There's other parts of the suffering, and I don't want you to think that I'm missing those. But these are the parts that I feel like God's wanting me to get to today. There was a part where they pierced into his side. When they did this in tradition, this was towards the end of the crucifixion. Two of the things that was very common in that time to do. The first thing was to pierce the side to see if they were still alive because they wanted to quicken the death. They wanted to end it. But before they ever got to piercing the side, he had already given up the ghost. He had already surrendered his life willingly. And there's something significant about this. He surrendered it willingly for you and I. And I praise him for that. He surrendered it willingly before they ever got a chance to take it, before they ever had a chance to check for it. And when they went to do that and they pierced it, what was the substance that they found? They found blood, and they found water that poured out of there. Yet he was already had given up that part of him. So that which flowed out of him represents something to me that gets me excited in my spirit. There's something about the blood that covers something in our lives. And there's something about the water that poured out also. There's something about the blood that sanctifies. Oh, that covers a multitude of sins for our lives. Somebody needs to praise God just for the blood today. Somebody needs to get excited just for the blood today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's enough just about them right there to know that that's your lifeline. That's part of the lifeline that you live by. It's the part that draws you, part that stirs you. It's the part that you get up with that the devil can't have, can't take it, can't remove it from you. You know it's there. Hallelujah. And there's something about the water, the Spirit of God, that life source. 70% of you is water. You might walk with bones, but you're more water than you are bones. Hallelujah. You could be walking around in bones and be dead, but God wants you to have life by the Spirit of God. I don't want to be dead. I've walked around plenty of times. We're going to punch in a little bit in the gut here. I've walked around plenty of times in my Christian life, just bones. But God wants us to be more than just bones. He wants us to be more than just bones. He wants us to have a fulfilling substance. He wants us to have, oh, the waters of the Spirit. He said they flow as a river. Oh, hallelujah. He said it flows, oh, from the north and the south and the east and the west. So they flow everywhere continually. There's not a place that you could go that the waters of the Spirit will not find you. What does that mean? You could be at home. Home in bed in distress, and the Spirit of God is still there. You don't have to have nobody. It'll be there to comfort you. You can be low and down, but God will lift you up. You may be in body or sick to your stomach, and God will give you a healing. Do I have a witness in the house of God? I'm feeling that water is the Spirit just bringing me out right now. He already gave it up, showed a willingness to die for man. If they had took his life, it'd been a different story. But he gave up the ghost. And you read about in Matthew 27 about a little bit of a taste of the resurrection power. Matthew's account of this said that when he gave up the ghost, oh, that the great earthquake came and how the ground was shaken. Oh, but then there were some saints of God that even began to rise at that moment. And I thank God that resurrection power, oh, still rises, oh, within your saints today. It gives us the ability when we're dead in spirit, oh, to be able to rise up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, get out of that. Oh, get out of that. Rise up and live. Other accounts listed as the veil was torn. There was an earthquake, but Matthew's account talks about those saints of God that began to rise and even went into the town of Jerusalem. There's commentaries that pretty much tell you to ignore that part, but I'm not going to ignore
a move of the Spirit of God. Oh, that's so strong that you cannot even begin to ignore that. There's something about the resurrection power of Christ. Oh, even get, don't even get to the tomb yet. Oh, that's not even there yet. Oh, it was just even a prophecy. It was even a deliverance. Oh, even before they even got there. Oh, I could just praise Him all day today. Hallelujah. There was a prophecy that was given that He was going to be buried even with rich men. You read about this, and it says in Isaiah 53:9, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. And you read about it, even after He was dead, there was a rich man that came and gave up His tomb. So though He may have been killed in wickedness, He was buried with the rich. Prophetic word fulfilled. It's a sign of God. So what does that tell me? Don't run away when the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Don't be afraid of the prophetic word of God. It's all over the Word of God. It's something that stirs your heart each and every day. It's here to edify you. It's here to build you up. It's here to bring you life. It's here to give you something, hallelujah, that you may be seeking for. You're seeking God already. God sends a prophetic word, hallelujah, to be able to give you that confirmation of what you've been seeking after. Hallelujah. So we talked about the side being pierced, the display of that resurrection power. Hallelujah. But you just get to the part where He was mocked and insulted. And people try to act like that they're big and tall and can handle big words against them. But don't tell me that you can, because we can't. All of us are susceptible to the very same way that we feel. It hurts to be mocked. It hurts to be made fun of. It hurts to be put down. It does. Yet, through all of that, He didn't open His mouth. Didn't say a word. What does that show? It shows humility that He had towards persecution. That's a message that we don't have time for. How that we don't stand in humility anymore. How that we've lost humility in this present day. We've lost the ability to look past things that we normally would have before. How that we've lost forgiveness even for silly things. We've lost the ability just to love one another and look past things that Christ erased away. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's hard just in your heart just to say, forgive them, for they know not what they say. But yet you tell me the last time in your heart that you said, forgive them for what they said towards me. I'm waiting for an apology, Brother Jared. Pastor Jared, you don't know how much it hurt. There's something about humility and a testimony towards standing, even though you're being afflicted in the now. There's something about being able to take a stand in love towards those that would say that they hate you. There's something about being able not just to be justified by your feelings, but justified by your faith. How about that? How about standing by the Spirit of God to be able to endure in long suffering? To endure things that we never thought that we could endure. I don't mean to get all in our business, but that is so much the truth that I can almost smell the stench of it right now. One small word drives so much division in families, in friends, in churches, that we can't hold anything together. We can't even forgive one another. And yet, through the sufferings of Christ, it showed ultimate humility. And we can't even give each other a serious, legitimate display of love towards one another. Can't even have a lowering of pride to say that I love you, even though you persecute me. Hallelujah. How many times are we going to have to run around this mountain of not being able to stand in love before we get to a place where we'll love God regardless of what we go through? We're missing blessings upon blessings because we're not getting to the love of God that we should. We're missing blessings because we're missing the suffering of the cross. We're missing what He did for us. I know what He did for me. I know He delivered me from drug addiction. So I know I must show mercy on those that are addicted. I don't throw them under the bus and say there's no hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't throw people under the bus when they fail, but I lift them up in prayer. Though you may think that I should count someone as my enemy, they will not be my enemy, for I will love them as myself. For if you can accomplish that victory, how much further you'll go with the life source of Christ. He said to be like-minded. Like-minded to whom? To Christ. Be like-minded to Christ. Oh, hallelujah, what a love that we could have for one another if we were like-minded to Christ. I hope I'm tearing down some houses today. There's something amazing about the power of the cross. It shows us exactly where we are, depending on what part of it that you want to go to. You read about even the vinegar and the gall that they tried to give him. That was another way that they were trying to end that quickly, the suffering of that. Even went as so far as to try to put it up to his mouth. And people will go so far as to try to tempt you with things they feel like that will, what? Put you in destruction. Make you suffer. Not everything that you're offered is good. Why don't you come with me and we'll go have some lunch? Oh, that's great. That's one example. But not everything that you're offered is what you should take. Where's the church at today? Don't leave me hanging now. There's another prophetic word that was given, even that his legs were not to be broken. It says in Psalms 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of what? A broken heart. How many of us know that today? And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord what? Delivereth out of what? Them all. Them all. There is not one that you could bring to God and say that it's impossible. Not one that you could say that God could not change. Not one. God can do it all. Hallelujah. He can do it all. There's nothing that God cannot do. Hallelujah. There's not one life, even in this building, that God cannot transform. If you be willing and so choose to come to Him and be contrite and humble before Him, He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. The other two thieves in that time, both of them were broken. Their legs were broken. But Christ was not. He was not. By the order of Pilate. So what does that demonstrate? Favor. Right? Favor. Favor. What a thing it is to have favor of God. You read about even in, just go to Job and read the first five chapters. There's enough of those first two trials that he went through to know that he had the favor of God just to even go through those. Favor of God will take you further than what you could earn. Come on. What you could bundle up, what you could save, what you could have, what you could put in your 401k or your SRA. But when you put your trust in things that are above God, it will never prosper. It'll never prosper. You could try it. I've seen even people's told me about shows that they try to stockpile for the end of time. But you couldn't put enough food in your cupboard to save you for the end of time. Nothing is safe in the day that we live in. Nothing. Not your job, your income. So what is it that we must live with to have substance and be fulfilled? Well, it's not going to be something that you can have with money. It's not. And I'd love to get a new house in the future. And sure, I'd love to have another vehicle. Maybe those things will come around if God will give the increase for that. Maybe so. But do you think in my heart that's where my mind should be fixed on? The next car. My next asset to what I can liquidate if they take my house. If they came for me today and was going to clean me out, I wouldn't have enough. That's funny to me. I don't know if it is to you or not. I don't have enough. I don't have nothing to my name that's of worth. And I can spend the rest of my life fighting for that. But I'm glad I have the knowledge now to know that if I have Jesus Christ, take all that stuff away. Go ahead and clean me out. That's all right. Church, we're looking for so much out of God, but we're trying to put so many other things before God before we'll change ourselves. Material things are not what God wants to change. Uh-oh. You know where God wants to work first? Inside of your heart. He wants to work in your life. Because you could have everything in this world. In fact, let's take up an offering and give one person in here the blessing of all of our incomes and see if that will help you for a week. But it won't. You might be satisfied to be able to go and buy a meal that you never had. Driving a car that you've never seen. Sit in a house with furniture that you've never sat upon. But those pleasures are temporary. But there's something about when you lay down that inner part of you that says, God, take my life. Take my want for possessions. Take my desire for fighting for it. And God, let's make sure that you're first. Help me to believe in the cross.
Help me to recognize its power in me. I don't know how many years it's been since I've been made free. And it doesn't even matter. It's like you just look back and you can't recall the time. But I know that it was through and by the power of the cross. But you know, I've came from deliverance. And I've had to walk, right? I've had to live. There's been trials to come to try my marriage, try my family, try my walk with God, try my walk in church. You see how easy it is just to hang on with just the blood and not the water. It's hard because there's something about the comfort of the Spirit that will bring you through just beyond knowing that you have Christ in your life. Because the comfort of the Spirit will come by and help you, reaches out to our brothers and sisters when we're not able to. That should be the biggest amen of the day. It's hard to not to acknowledge in our heart when we come short. But with all that's in me today, I am asking you with all my heart to let's get past what we know about each other. Let's get past everything that we've ever done in our lives. Let's not look back to even 2 hours ago. And let's get to a place in our heart where we can just solely focus on the cross and Christ right now in this moment. Say, Lord, where do I need to be with you? In other words, don't pull your baggage up to the altar with you, because you're not going to have it when you go. It's not going to be there with you when you go. Power of the cross is here to save and deliver. But not only that, if you are saved and delivered, it is here to renew. It is here to make new. It is here to restore. It is here to mend. It's here to repair. And I believe with the boldness of the Spirit that's rising up in my heart even this day, that there is nothing to hold you back except that you just simply believe and step out today.